believe that all systems are go, because thank you, Cindy Yancey, who is with me as a member of the ASAP team. She's just started the recording. And so we're set and squared away to get ourselves started today. Welcome. My name is Janice Crampton, and I'm the Executive Director and CEO of the Association of Independent School Admission Professionals. We're thrilled to have you joining us today, whether it is good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on what time zone you are finding yourself in today. I'm thrilled to be able to have Cindy and Rachel joining me today as they present on the topic of how to create and maintain an extraordinary ambassador program. Before I turn it over to Cindy, so that she and Rachel can formally introduce themselves and give you a little bit of background as to their level of professionalism, and I shouldn't say level of professionalism, but their experience in the profession, a couple of housekeeping details. As you know, this is an ASAP webinar, and for that, we are recording this session. You will be able to receive a copy of this session, and as is true of all ASAP webinars, if you are a member, you're able to go into the webinar portal and see all of the hundreds of webinars that we have available to you at your leisure and request. If there are any questions, please do either raise your hand or, more importantly, put it in the question and answer or the chat box. Because this is a webinar and because we have such a large number of participants, we unfortunately won't be able to have you unmute yourself and then speak on this call. So please do use the chat and the Q&A function. Once again, we're thrilled to be able to have Cindy and Rachel with us today. And Cindy, why don't you take it away and get us started?
Okay. Well, thank you, Janice. And we're really excited to be here today to be presenting on a topic that's very near and dear to our hearts, and to which I believe really helped us increase enrollment, STEM retention, and just make the school a more joyful environment for volunteers. So just to introduce us, my name is Cindy Udell. I'm going on my 20th year at Milton, but in so many ways, it just feels like I just got here because there's always something new to learn and something new to do. When I first got to this school, we had about 150 students. We were worried about the school filing for bankruptcy because our student body was so low. And we're opening this year with about 465 students. So we've grown tremendously over the years. We added a pre-K since I've been here. We added a middle school. We added a new building because we were running out of space. So it's been just a pleasure and wonderful. So let me have Rachel say hello and introduce herself. Oh, you're muted.
Hi, good morning. I'm so glad to be with all of you today. I had the delightful opportunity to help Cindy develop the ambassador program that we're going to be speaking about. I am an alumni of the school where my kids now go. So I'm both a proud parent and an alumni. My background is in school counseling, and I worked as a guidance counselor for a number of years before turning my attention to volunteering. And I'm just excited to be able to share with you the program that Cindy and I were able to create.
Okay. All right. So does anybody relate to this feeling? I know it's after the summer and you're all hopefully had vacation, you're feeling rejuvenated, but think back to February, January, when you're reading files and you're completely immersed and you're just saying to yourself, what is it that, you know, that I could have done better this year? What is it that I could have done differently? And who could be there to really help me get through this whole process? So when you have a successful ambassador program, really, this is what it all looks like. We have a lot of fun together. We can really help, it can really help you, you know, increase your reach. I kind of think of my ambassadors as like octopus tentacles, just really increasing the reach. The ambassadors are thought partners for me. I rely on them tremendously. And we, as you can see, we really all do a lot of fun together here. So let me start with what we're hoping that you'll leave here with today. We're hoping that you'll understand how to start an ambassador program if you don't have one already. And Janice will leave my email in case anyone has any questions. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to Rachel if you want the admission director, the parent perspective. We're here to help you through this. We have split our ambassadors up into many different committees, and we'll go through the various committees and what each one does, and then how the ambassador program could really help you reach your admission and retention goals. Okay, so I'll talk about the beginning and how it all started. In chatting with my head of school, I've been here for 20 years, but every year I like to try something new and change something because parents are changing tremendously. And what interests them and what excites them changes tremendously. So we're always looking for new ways to attract people to our school, to make people excited about what we do. So I talked to with my head of school at the time, and we were like, you know what, let's really start a formal ambassador program. We had something informal for many, many years, but this we wanted to kind of join the big leagues and really get something formal out there. And I thought to myself, who would be the best person to really help me? And Rachel had been volunteering at the school for many years. So advice number one, find somebody really committed, cheerful, who so loves the school. So when I thought about that person back then, I guess we started about five years ago. Rachel came to mind, and I said, I think I'm gonna ask Rachel Bederowitz to help us with this. She's an alumnus of the school. Her kids go here. She's so happy. She's a great volunteer, and she's an extrovert and loves people. So together we went to this class in Texas that was given through PRISMA, which is an organization for Jewish day schools. We are a Jewish affiliated day school. And they have this great program on how to start an ambassador program. So Rachel and I packed our bags. We went together to Texas, and Rachel likes to tell her we accidentally stole someone's Uber on the way. Lots of fun. And we learned a lot at that few day session. And then we came back, we rolled up our sleeves together, and we got to work. So to talk a little bit about our approach. So we decided to start with about 20 enthusiastic parents who love the school. So we kind of put our heads together. We looked at class lists. We looked at parent directories, and we came up with the 20 people who we wanted to ask. So we did not make it a volunteer thing. We solicited our own people because we knew the type of people that we felt would be really effective and would benefit from the program and benefit us. And we created a deep connection between the ambassadors and the admission cycle and the admission department. So, you know, most parents don't really know what goes on inside. And we spent time really helping them understand how the cycle works. What are the important touch points? When are the important outreach moments? And then we constructed various committees and we assigned co-chairs of each committee, which was also vital, and Rachel can tell you a little bit more about that when she gets to the committee work. But the co-chairs, you know, also it's very much parent to parent. So the co-chairs are able to talk to the parents and to motivate them and to figure out who's interested in what. And often things do come out better when it comes from a friend than someone that's from the school. We meet about 6 times a year. And we also felt that it was very important that people get something out of this, not only just helping us, but getting something out of it for themselves. So we felt that the committees had, the ambassador meetings had to be educational. We always have a speaker. We felt that they had to be social. So we always served dinner. This was, pre-COVID, but again, we brought it back to in-person last year. We always serve dinner, we usually have some wine, and we make it very useful and informative. We want everyone to feel that their time is well spent. And then it's important that various speakers are going to speak to things we'll talk more about it later, but parents need to be really educated on all the ins and outs. So I might have parents that are in kindergarten, but they don't yet know about middle school. So we bring in people like our middle school director to chat with them about that program, our elementary school director to talk about initiatives in that program. And again, why, you know, and why parents, of course, should send their kids to Milton. We always set meeting dates early in the year. We set them ahead of time. We try to keep the dates as sacrosanct as possible, barring, you know, like a COVID emergency or something, you know, crazy like that. But, you know, we respect people's time and we want them to understand that these are the times that we've set aside. These are the times that they've set aside. People have to get babysitters or, you know, coerce their spouse to stay home. So the meeting dates are very, very important. We also distributed a binder that gives parents a lot of information. So we now do it more online where we give them the documents electronically. But when we first started, we had this big binder, and we'll show you samples later on of what's in that binder. And then we distributed that binder to people, and we asked them to bring it to every meeting, especially in the beginning, because we were always adding things to the binder and people were taking notes, and it had folders for them to put things in and things like that. So what are the goals of this program? It really is for the ambassadors to assist the admission team to collaborate with us and to really help us implement the school's recruitment and retention strategic plan. We work with internal and external school community to raise the reputation and visibility of Milton. Very important that they're kind of getting out there into the community and really helping to raise that visibility among their friends, among their colleagues, among their coworkers. And hopefully now that more people are back in person, that this will be much more effective again. I think we missed that when people were working at home. And of course, to make new friends and to have fun. Every meeting, we always have an icebreaker. It's often something fun, like what's your favorite flavor ice cream, or which teacher would you like to have lunch with? And then, you know, I think one year we brought an ice cream after they talked about their favorite flavors. Like, we always try to just connect things, connect people together, and to make it really fun and exciting. Okay, so Rachel, you're starting with the next slide, right? Slide 9 for me. Yes. Okay. Should we check to see if there are questions now, Janice?
In fact, I checked and I don't see any questions. So why don't you guys continue to proceed, okay, and we'll go from there.
Terrific.
Hi, Dan. So I just wanted to echo what Cindy said, which is that part of being an ambassador and in this program is that you are getting this incredible opportunity to connect with other parents in the school, to learn more about the school, and to sort of more deeply integrate yourself. So I've just enjoyed being part of that. One of the things to cover today is talking a little bit about the ambassador traits. And Cindy and I sort of put this slide together quite a while ago because we came out of that program and really wanted to think about who it was that we were targeting to find. And we wanted someone with high energy that was going to be friendly and outgoing. We wanted someone that would really kind of appreciate and the Milton's core values and missions and sort of was in alignment with them. An individual who would really have a desire to see the school grow and thrive. Someone that also, and this one is a little tricky, someone that would be very honest and diplomatic and be able to keep confidence and still be positive and forward facing, but still be constructive and thoughtful and honest about, you know, feedback that was not as positive. So someone that really could handle positive and constructive criticism. And then additionally, someone that would really work collaboratively. And a lot of the work that the ambassadors get to do is on their committees. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the different committees that we sort of have formalized. And each year we have kind of reevaluated what those look like. So Cindy, do you want to go? Oh, we'll go. Okay. Duties of an ambassador. So before I dig into the committees, The duties of an ambassador are things that we're sort of very upfront about before we ask someone to join. So the process is that we call someone up, or the current chairs will, and say, we'd like you to consider this program. Let us tell you a little bit about what's involved. And we think it is really important that, in addition to giving dates ahead of time and things like that, that the individual being asked understand what we're, you know, hoping they'll do. So there really aren't any surprises. And once they start the process, it really, really does mirror what we've asked of them. So our ambassadors are asked to help build the database of new families. That will be people that they meet in the community, at their preschools. We ask them to be willing to host or attend information sessions, to pop on and serve as speakers if it's a virtual open house, as we had to do in the past, or to come in person. We ask them to come to the Sunday applicant screenings. And usually what happens is, while our pre-K and kindergartners are getting screened, these ambassadors will mingle with current parents and answer questions and sort of talk about their recent experiences. We ask that they consider being a buddy family to a new prospective family coming into the school. And we're gonna talk a little bit about what the buddy program is later, but it is really, really helpful if our buddies are also ambassadors, because that means that they actually have a lot of the information that these new families are going to want to know about. We ask that they share on social media for us and post positive reviews, and also to kind of help create an internal buzz within the school of excitement, as well as out in the community. We ask that they be a point of contact in their preschools, and we ask that they serve as a liaison between the preschools and the admissions office at Milton, and that relationship is super valuable. We will ask that they will answer questions and take calls and be references for the school. People often say, when they talk to Cindy, I'd love to speak to a parent who's in that grade. And Cindy's able to pull up her list and say, well, I'm happy to give you, you know, two parents that you can speak to. And she knows with confidence that they are informed individuals, that they are diplomatic, that they are boosters of the school's values, and that they're going to, you know, have the right things to say that will really honestly reflect the really positive things Milton has. We also ask that they will check their emails and calls and respond to current and prospective families, and also send thank you notes when necessary, and just be really good liaisons, like I said, to the community, and filter back anything that they hear. Next. Okay, so now we're going to jump into the committees. So as I mentioned, the committees have changed. So when Cindy and I worked on the program initially, we had like four slightly different committees. And each year, I like to think that the program gets stronger and better. And with every chair that has come after me, I have seen that happen, and the growth that has built, and the structure and rethinking committees. So this year, the ambassador program has these committees that you see: the recruitment committee, the preschool and synagogue liaison task force, the middle school committee, the buddy family committee, and the retention committee. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what goes into each of these. But as you are, you know, making a program for your own school, definitely don't do these exact things. If your school, you know, may have different needs, and your committee should reflect that. So our recruitment committee is really going to support the entire admission cycle. So many of you are familiar with the fact that starting soon, parents are going to be looking at the school and then applying to the school, and or considering applying to the school and then actually applying to the school. And then there's a process that happens where, you know, we keep checking in with them, and then they get admitted to the school, and then they have to choose us, and so on and so forth. So this is a cycle that is really year long. And the recruitment committee is Cindy's and the admission department's partner through that. And so they're really looking to plan events such as open houses, tours, and then we run STEM programs as a kind of a taste of. So what Cindy and her team do is they put forward four different opportunities for families of pre-K and incoming pre-K and kindergartners to visit the school, to meet faculty, to do a STEM lesson and a hands-on activity with their parents, and really see the facility engage with the building, engage with the faculty, and we ask our ambassadors to attend those, and mainly people that are coming out of this recruitment committee. Additionally, we ask that they help us with other nice touch points that help along the process. So when we accept families, we send them a welcome kit. They get the letter virtually. And then they also get that same day a delivery from us that will have a challah and grape juice and a welcome card and maybe a panda stuffed panda from the school, as well as maybe a water bottle and a note from Cindy and the ambassador team, you know, really welcoming them. And of course, that'll come alongside with phone calls and other touch points and invitations to a party for newly attended parents. This year, Cindy threw it on the roof of the building with twinkle lights, and it was gorgeous and fun and high energy. And I think the ambassadors that attended really brought that energy up and excitement up. And then they also are going to just help volunteer at other events throughout the year and follow up with the prospective parents after the events. The next committee we're gonna share about is our preschool synagogue liaison committee. And these are very, very valuable ambassadors. These are ambassadors who still have kids in preschool. So they have active, current, you know, heartbeat relationships with these preschools. And they know other families that are looking for pre-K or kindergartens. And they know the directors, and they know how our values match up with their preschool's values. And so these are individuals who join the preschool synagogue liaison committee. And we ask that they help us with our preschool directors and educational consultants lunch. That's a special program that Cindy started, I think 3 years ago, where she invited area preschool directors to the school for a learning opportunity and a lunch opportunity. But mostly they got to see our building, meet our faculty, have a fun, you know, time out of their own building. And it was extremely well attended, so much so that even when it was held, I think 2 years on Zoom, there was still huge attendance. And Cindy found a way to get everybody a delivered lunch so they could still have a really special experience. So people in this committee will take part in that. We also will work to match individuals in this committee with applicants. So if we see that we have three families from a specific preschool that have applied, we will assign the ambassador that has a relationship with that school. And it's done very intentionally. And I do think the attention and care that goes into those pairings really does make a difference. We also ask that they do some advertising of our programs, the open houses, the STEM events, and that if they are able to, that they will organize a coffee or meetup at their preschool where we kind of are bringing our materials sort of open house at their school. If you have questions, I'm happy to take some.
Great. Why don't I do this? There are a number of questions. And if you wouldn't mind, Rachel, how about if I pose them to you and to Cindy at this time? Okay. Yes. So Latanya is asking, what can someone who's introverted and maybe not lively do as an ambassador? As she writes, often there are some really good eggs, but may not be outgoing.
Oh, absolutely. One of the major things that they can do is help post things on listservs. They can sort of be the person that distributes the little blurb that we want to put out regarding an open house. So they can then distribute it to various people on other listservs, other ambassadors, and to kind of check off and follow up with them to see if it's been done. So that's one thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Stuffing those bags that we give out after people are admitted. You were saying, Rachel?
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. And I think being introverted, you know, still has the opportunity to really deeply connect with people.
I agree.
You know, having these conversations, these one-on-one conversations on the phone where parents are calling with really questions. They have this, their first child is looking at a school. It's a major decision and they want to talk with someone and talk through this decision. And an ambassador that is able to make that connection you know, one-on-one, doesn't have to be in a big party setting, is super valuable. And I'm thinking of one particular ambassador when you said the word introvert that we have, who I think has probably been one of our very best. And she suggested we start a parent book club, which is one of the initiatives I think Cindy's going to talk about. And, you know, from her love of reading has now grown to this new program. And she happens to be pretty quiet in our meetings, but her ideas are like the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Tiara is asking, and I apologize if I'm not pronouncing your first name properly, but she's asking, how do you manage emotions and vetting of parents who know about this program and want to be part of it, but may not fit because of the traits and goals of the program? And how do you deal with the perception and feeling of include or exclusion if they're not chosen?
We typically will, oh, am I muted? No, I'm not. Okay. Well, we will, you know, typically, if somebody volunteers, that means that they're really interested and they're excited about the school. So we will try to find a space for them. If they hear about it and they want to join, mm-hmm. we'll find something for them to do. And even if they come to the meetings and they're educated, the meetings are really fun and exciting and so they don't have to be the one who's out there, speaking at an open house or we might not want them to be a buddy if we're a little worried, but we'll find something for them to do.
I think what I'm hearing from the two of you, you know, not only with this question, but also the one that was asked prior, is that there's so many opportunities with lots of different feels and flavor to them. So that, again, there in many ways is a place for everyone. Do you ever turn anybody down?
I don't think we ever have.
Okay.
I mean, we self-select them, but if somebody learns about it, so we're going out there asking parents specifically.
I see.
We don't put something like in the school newsletter saying, would you like to volunteer?
Okay.
But sometimes parents will find out. And I've had parents say to me, oh, I'd love to be an ambassador. And I'm like, oh, good. Mm-hmm. You ever seen some, you know, people who are enthusiastic.
That's right. Caroline. Right. Caroline is asking, and I apologize, I just cut you off here. I was just jumping in with almost a dovetail question. Caroline's wondering, you started off with 20 parents. How big is the group now?
I think we have about 30.
Okay.
I think this past year's group is about 30.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
I'll just add, it's with intention that it not be a big, big program, because we want the meetings and the matchups to be really intentional. So with that 30, you know, we have certainly had people who have, you know, their kids have graduated and left the program. So it's really an add and a subtraction in a really good way.
Okay. There are two more questions that relate to this section. And then there's another one that speaks specifically to retention. And I know you're going to talk about that in just a minute. So we'll hold that one. But one question here is, do you set a budget for this program and outline it in detail for each committee in advance? Or how do the committees pay for everything and handle expenses throughout the year?
That's a very good question. And it's something that every year the ambassadors are like, what's our budget? And I'll turn it back to them and say, well, what do you think that event will cost? And it really has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that the admission office itself does not have a specific budget.
But
I've been doing this for such a long time and I'm very frugal and thoughtful in what I spend. So I think this, like, we're thoughtful. We're like, okay, we don't really have a budget for this, but we know we want to do this program in the park. So It's free, but yet we'll supply the snacks or we'll buy admission tickets to the carousel or something that's not that expensive. So we try to keep our costs reasonable. It's more of our head of school's sort of way of, we have a new head of school who actually hasn't, I know it's part of her goals is to give each department a budget, and I think we will get that. And then we'll kind of figure out how to allocate it. But we really have been everyone's been hands off with us. And I think that they know we're reasonable and that we're bringing, you have to kind of spend money to make money.
That's right. Well, it also sounds a little like that commercial from many years ago, you know, the ballpark, $50, the program $40, spending time with your son, priceless, right? Exactly. So this is really about some level of engagement. But as Debbie also picks up on, she's wondering, how does your ambassador program interface with your parent association? So would there be expenses or any liaise in that regard?
Okay, I'll take that one. So much as I'm not currently here in the ambassador program, which I love, I am this year's parent association chair. And so the programs actually complement each other beautifully. The parent association is collecting dues from parents and is sort of using those dollars to do teacher appreciation touch points, to do social engagement opportunities, and things like that, and some community service programming. And those programs are really planned to complement what Cindy's department is doing. So we sort of see that the parent association is serving the whole community. Their programs are geared toward current existing parents and making sure that they as parents get a fun bar night out and the kids get a great, you know, playground social and things of that nature. Cindy's programs are really thoughtful and purposeful at targeting either recruitment or retention. So I'm going to talk a little bit in a minute about the middle school committee, and that really is a committee that's an example of focusing inward on retention. But for the most part, the programs that Cindy's talking about, open houses and things like that, are programs that are really focused on the outside community, and rather than the inside community, and this buddy committee is slightly different. So okay. Does that answer
your question? To add on to that, we also sat down with the chairs and the Milton Parent Association chair sat down together last week. We had a great lunch and we just looked at the calendar together and said, okay, like you're doing something in this month. Maybe we'll do like a retention activity in this month. So September, you're doing something at the school. We'll do something at the zoo the next month. And kind of, you know, want to have something almost every month between the two committees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so one final question. And then again, there are several others in the Q&A, but they will be asked in sort of our next wave. So you can go on. But before we proceed, Christy's wondering, when you cited the number of parent ambassadors, does that include the buddy families or are they additional to sort of the whole group of people that you're working with?
So usually when I'm putting together buddies, I do it myself every year. I will first try to go to ambassadors, but since we give every new family two buddies, there really are not enough ambassadors. So then we'll go to, oh, this person lives in the same neighborhood. They're not an ambassador, but they're a great parent and their kid would really get along well with the new kid. So let's match them up together. Milton is a school where there's a lot of parent involvement and a lot of community and taking care of one another. So there's the ambassador program. The buddies can overlap, but they don't have to.
So the next slide we're going to talk about is the buddy family committee. One of the things that, you know, is important to note is the school always under Cindy's direction had a buddy family program where she was matching people up. What the ambassador program has done is sort of like fine tune it so that the buddies are know kind of more what's expected of them and there's more organization to it. So the Buddy Family Committee is is a committee that is going to make sure that new families are getting informed about current things going on in the school, that before school starts, there's a check-in with them about hot lunch and after school activities and things like that. And then throughout the year, there's one-to-one check-ins from family to family. So Cindy has scheduled it for the upcoming year to be a September to December touch point, a January to March touch point. We ask that they come to the first day coffee that happens after you drop off students on the first day of school, and that they use and update their buddy tracker, which indicates when they've touched base with their buddies. So, and then additionally, two other touch points, which is this committee plans and attends a buddy program. Last year there was a scavenger hunt on the Washington DC Mall, and buddies were asked to invite their new buddy family to come and to engage with them. And then there was a second event in Touchpoint in the spring. So what happens is this committee is sort of formalizing the touch points, making sure that they're happening, and often are they themselves the buddies. Okay, the next committee is really one that I think is really an interesting case. So Milton, where our kids go to school, really only in the last 4 or 5 years added a middle school. So the middle school is pretty new, is doing extremely well, but I think that a lot of the work that Cindy's team is doing is remarkable, because not only are kids going from fifth into sixth and staying in our middle school, but she's also pulling in new families that had never been there before who are coming into our school for sixth, seventh, and eighth. And so the middle school community, if I said to you guys that the ambassador program kind of was in charge of bringing families in and integrating them at the start of their school career, and then the parent association is sort of their current experience. The middle school committee sort of picks up toward the end of their end of elementary year experience and helps to make sure that they visibly can see the amazing middle school community that Milton has to offer. And so this was a really great new committee that Cindy put together a couple years ago. And what they do is they plan events that kind of give a taste of the middle school to fifth graders. So it's recruitment, but then simultaneously create community for parents and students in the fifth, sixth, and seventh and eighth grade, which bolsters our retention. And so she's both making sure people know about us and also making sure that people are happy in their experience. And so some of the recent events that have happened were a virtual escape room when we were in the thick of COVID, a family hike, there was a brunch and a swim, a kickball game. I think we had bowling 1 year. This year, I think Cindy is talking about having a chance for the fifth graders to go up and kind of have a lunch experience with the sixth graders. So there's always room for growth, but it's an important and unique committee that our school really has benefited from. Okay, the retention committee. So this committee is a committee that is dedicated to ensuring that there's consistent touch points and that all Cindy has her pulse on where families may be needing extra grab in. So some parents join the school and make friends and they're off to the races. And there are other families that really, really value and need these curated touch points that Cindy's office, the admissions office, puts together. So this committee helps to create community feeling among students and parents. They plan events and coordinate them along with the Milton Parent Association. And those would be a parent bar meetup, a parent paint night, the scavenger hunt that the buddies did would be an example of that. And these are just events that are targeted toward making sure that families are being brought into the fold.
Okay, so I'm up now. Okay, so let's talk about, again, I'm gonna reiterate the meeting. So if you look at this slide, this was actually our first meeting last year, where we decided to have it, because of all the COVID rules and we weren't sure what we could do at school versus out of school, and we wanted to make it outdoors. So we actually held it in my backyard. And spontaneously, my husband decided to make everyone margaritas, which really wasn't part of it, but it was just so fun and festive. And so this was our first one where our co-chairs are actually getting up and speaking, I think, and I was speaking. We had our MPA, our Milton Parent Association chair speak. But generally, as I said, meetings need to be educational, social, informative, and productive. We don't want to waste anyone's time. We want people to feel that they walk away with a feel good feeling, that they learned something, they may have met a new friend, they had fun, And that's basically how we run each meeting. Let's see. Okay. Oh, here are some examples of speakers that we've had. Last year, our school was very much focused on responsive classroom. So we brought in the responsive classroom coordinator. We also brought in the curriculum director of early childhood. And at the same time, we brought in the director of elementary school. And each one, you know, spent about 10, 15 minutes each talking about the highlights of the program, things to emphasize, things that were new. And that was very, very helpful. Hebrew is a very important part of our program. Our kids take Hebrew every single day, and they've been doing so since pre-K, so they're pretty good Hebrew speakers, but a lot of parents don't quite know what's going on in our Hebrew program. So we brought in all the instructional leaders from each division in the Hebrew side of our school to speak. We brought in someone from Student Support Services, because there's always a mystery out there. Who can we accept? Who could we not accept? Who could we serve? Who can't we serve? And parents get a little worried. They're like, there's a rumor out there that you're not taking kids that have special needs, or you're taking too many kids with special needs. So, you know, there are various rumors flying. So our director came in and really kind of demystified things and explained who thrives at Milton, and talked a little bit about the support services that are available. And then life after Milton and the middle school curriculum. So we brought in our middle school director. She spoke a bit about life after Milton, how well our kids do once they leave, things that they're up to, and the middle school curriculum, which is usually important because most of our families have not yet been through the middle school. And it was very exciting for them to hear all the initiatives that are going on there. We're actually in the process of strategic planning right now. So we brought in the board chair who does strategic planning to talk about the strategic plan for the year and the process of strategic planning. And of course, the head of school. We have a relatively new head of school. So we brought her in to speak early on about new initiatives and for the ambassadors to really get to know her. Okay. So social, we do like to do all the meetings in person. As I said, we serve dinner, we serve wine. We, you know, it's not a big drinking event, but we want people to feel a little relaxed that they're stepping out of their regular day. Parents will often say to me, "Oh my God, this is great. It's the first time I've gotten out in, you know, years. So thank you for inviting me to this." We always give ambassadors in the very beginning time to catch up with each other, time to chat. And then we always like to do an icebreaker, you know, anything from, you know, what's your favorite ice cream? Who do you want to have dinner with at the school? What's your favorite, you know, Netflix movie, like all sorts of kind of fun, different things. But I'll give a very fast plug for ASAP and your wonderful icebreaker that you do at the annual meeting. I'm definitely stealing some stuff from that. Those of you who have not been to the annual meeting, this is from me. You should really consider it. It was amazing. Okay. Oh, here they are. Favorite Netflix series. So we don't. Okay. Oh, yeah. And a favorite memory from your personal kindergarten is always a fun one. And something wonderful from your child's school year. We like to do that because, like, not everyone knows what's wonderful in their peers' child's school life. So it's great to like get the ambassadors excited about something really fun that may be coming up in third grade if they only have a kindergartner. Favorite ice cream flavor we talked about. Okay, informative. Yes, I always give an admission report. So I give admission reports at the board meetings. I also give an admission report at the ambassador meetings. It's very important that people understand the impact of their hard work. We also share lists of applicants and ask ambassadors to kind of look over the list, see who you know, see if you have any intelligence. Typically our parents who are applying are comfortable with this. If somebody says to me, like, "Don't tell anyone I'm applying," we won't put them on the list. And then we assign ambassadors, as Rachel talked a little about the intentionality of each person that came to an open house that inquired. And we have the ambassadors reach out. We kind of give them different points. We assign each one, and then we give them like a point in the year when they should reach out. And then the second ambassador might reach out in a different part of the year. And I've gotten such glorious feedback from this of parents saying to me, oh my God, I feel so loved already. I feel so welcomed. I'll say any questions. And they're like, no, we spoke to like three parents already. And we know so much and we feel so welcomed and happy. So it's such a great thing. Okay, now getting to the productivity part. We always save time for committees to get together, although we ask them to meet offline and to make sure that if they have important events coming up that they meet together ahead of our meetings. But we also always save time for committee work in case people are busy and we expect that they may not have time to meet separately. So we'll give them time to work in our sessions. So then we'll have ambassadors, after they break into their committees and talk about upcoming programs, we'll have the chair then report back to the rest of the ambassadors at the end so that they really understand, everyone understands what's going on. And people may have things to add or have some suggestions. So it's great to kind of keep that that discussion going on. And then while everyone's meeting, I usually circulate with my assistant director and we kind of circulate to answer questions and to see if they're stuck on something. There's always a question. They're like, well, what is the first day of school? Or, stuff like that. And then, as I said, each committee shares updates. So here is an example of a meeting agenda. We always give out an agenda ahead of time. This might have been the first one last year. So we had arrival, we had dinner, I did a welcome. This was the very first one. So this is actually a model that we use, and we're going to be using something similar for the next one coming up, where the ambassador chairs talk about the vision for the year, and they do a welcome, they do a get to know you icebreaker. If there are any new documents, they'll share them. And then we introduced we have a succession plan that actually takes place at the beginning of the year. So we already know who next year's ambassador co-chairs will be. So we'll introduce them as well at this first meeting. And then we'll do committee breakouts and then committee updates as we discussed. Okay. Sorry, you're going to do the binder?
Do we want to stop and see if there are any questions?
Yes. Okay.
So there are a number of questions, and as we think about not only the questions, but also great content that you still have to present, ready? Go. So Jessica's wondering, how do you handle retention specifically within the admissions office? I've heard it's better to keep retention separated from admission. I have an opinion, but I'd love for you to go.
It's funny. We talked this morning, I met with new staff and we talked about it. Okay, I have a list of every student in the school and I have them color-coded as to, if I have concerns about them, if I know they're definitely leaving, there may be people who came for 2 years and they're moving back to Israel or something like that. So we have everyone color-coded and we're very thoughtful about that. But it's not just the admission office doing that. If we've heard a concern, if the teachers have a concern about a family, they will contact me, but they're going to first contact student support services and say, hey, I hear, that Joey's parents think he's floundering. Could you step in and talk to the parents and see what's going on? So student support services is very, very involved in retention. The teachers, of course, themselves are involved. The division directors are involved. I've been here for so long. So many of the parents kind of think of me very motherly. So if they don't know who else to go to or who else to complain to, sometimes they will come to me and I'll try to talk them off the ledge or try to figure out what's going on if they feel that they failed elsewhere. Right. But it's not, and then we have these retention programs that, we do with the parent association.
Right.
Right. So I don't know if that helps.
Yeah. And if it didn't answer your question, Jessica, please do write back in and we'll circle around. I think the clarifying point I wish to make to all of our practitioners on the call is the following. There's the use of the word job, and then there's use of responsibility, and then also what we might call sphere of influence. And if your overall school enrollment is made up of two key points in the equation, and that's recruitment, which is new students, and retention, those students that are returning, you may not have that direct responsibility of making sure that the French teacher that is causing a little bit of a hullabaloo in the classroom and people are withdrawing, you may not have direct responsibility for oversight of that teacher, for example, but your sphere of influence and your need to be involved and have an understanding of how many people may be returning or not returning requires you to not see it as outside of the admission office. It is part of the network that you're creating, given what your overall job is. So there's lots of other training and discussion around that. But again, I think to your question, Cindy, of Jessica, I asked the same. If that helps to clarify, great. And if there's still other questions, chime in. Very quickly, there's sort of a size and scope question of your office. How large is your admissions team and how many people do you have managing this program? And then how many parent volunteers? You've mentioned 20 to 30. And then also, how big is your school one more time? And how many families do you have enrolled? Not students, but families. Yeah. So there's kind of a series.
I have to do, since we're still like, you know, in the midst of it. Okay.
Yeah, right.
We have 465 students. I think we have about 230 families.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
Yes.
I have a very small office. We, at different times, it's looked differently. Again, I have a new head of school who is really kind of looking at the whole scope of staff and shoring things up. So for most of the year, we were three people. And by the way, we also did all the outplacement in the school. Don't ask me why, but it's talk about sphere of influence. When I first got here, 20 years ago, no one was doing it.
Right, right.
How do I get people in if I can't get them out? So I just said, you know what, it's our job. And we love it, it's fun. But there are really only two of us right now. One of our associates left to move to all the way out in Virginia. So she, and we've been asked right now to just put it on hold and hiring another person and to kind of figure out, like we just hired an events manager. So that person makes our events, and we hired a new communications manager who might do some of our communications. So we're trying to sort of feel things out.
Right.
It looks like we're going to be an office of about two, which is also why the ambassador program is so, so crucial.
Absolutely. And are your parent volunteers active in both the parent association and this ambassador work?
Some of them are.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
We haven't fought over any students lately, but any parents.
There's plenty of goodwill to be shared, right?
It's nice that you have people who've taken leadership positions at the ambassadors and then have come over and shared an event with the MPA, and it's gone the reverse direction where they've done something with the MPA and realized, hey, there's, you know, they've proven themselves a really great volunteer, and then that's kind of brought them into being in the ambassador program. So I think there's a lot of complement that happens between the two programs. I would say that, you know, for the parent association, we are literally welcoming any parent that wants to help, whether it's signing up once to help give out pizza or it's chairing a carnival. So it's really a huge range. I think for the ambassador program, Cindy is really looking for those committed right ones that are going to kind of take on these volunteer roles and committee work. So, you know, it isn't just like you do it one day and you're done the next. It's a year-long commitment, which I think allows the program to have excellent product because these people are really in it, for the long haul.
You know, earlier you all mentioned the buddy tracker. Is that a formal system? Is that a formal software? Is that just a good Excel spreadsheet? How do y'all handle that? And can you tell,
That maybe could be our next career, maybe a buddy tracker. No, it's an informal spreadsheet.
Okay, great.
And what we've done is, at one time it looked very unwieldy, so each grade has their own sheet. So for instance, first grade, there may be 5 new families, and then the person who is the buddy to the new families will click on that particular link and then write down, oh, spoke to
my buddy,
we had, you know, lunch and blah, 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 great play date. Recommended to everyone else.
So I think, Cindy, that's one of the reasons why last year ASAP had a webinar or a training on how to use Excel spreadsheets, because who would have thought, right? The use of Excel spreadsheets in Google Docs. So anyway.
Again, let me know. I could use another.
Yeah, one. There you go. That's right. So Caroline is wondering, how does the middle school committee connect with class parents? Do they work together on the retention events? Are the committee members parents of older middle school students?
I'll let Rachel answer that one.
So the middle school committee, it's really nice. It's made of parents who have kids in the middle school. And then it's got parents on there that have kids in kindergarten. And what Cindy does at the beginning of the year is ask returning ambassadors which committee they might like to be part of. And new ambassadors are filled in as to what their options are and then placed accordingly. So it's actually a very nice way for someone who has much younger children to get exposure to what's happening in the middle school. And it gives fresh perspective and things like that. So they don't have to be. And then of course, the parent association has room parents, and that program will funnel and support, you know, and publicize the great programming that the middle school committee is planning.
Great. Our last question before you go to this last section of your talk today comes from our best friend, Anonymous.
love you, Anonymous.
Anonymous, how are you able to get parents to commit the time and energy to this program? This has been a challenge for Anonymous, and it seems like their ambassadors are stretched and they're not terribly responsive.
I think by making it a really fun, informative, social event, opportunity, I think that, I mean, that was our thinking. We were worried in the beginning and we were like, but if we make it really fun and informative, like who will not take time out? It's the meetings are like 4 to 6 times a year, not that many. And then each person is doing like a little bit. So we don't want anybody to get overtaxed and overworked. So we really tried to not burn people out. And then, yeah.
I think part of it was the, you know, when we go to people and we invite them to this program, they're sort of understanding we're inviting you to be part of a small group of parents that are going to sort of be the stakeholders and the keepers of the school's values and information and you know, and help us in whichever way is going to be the best way you can help us. And so for those that can come on Sunday morning to pre-K and kindergarten screenings, we'd really love to have them. For those that, you know, really can only attend one big event where we're welcoming new families but can take phone calls in the evenings, you know, there is places for people to be engaged and involved. And so I think sort of the approach where they're being given, here's what our calendar looks like, here's what the committees do, you know, this is where we think you'd be really, really helpful to us. I think they feel invited to something that's very purposeful, then very organized, and in a way that allows them to say yes. Because I know as a volunteer, when I get asked for something and it's vague exactly what my role is going to be, I'm much more hesitant to commit because I'm, you know that it could be not what I'm expecting.
Excellent. So why don't you talk a little bit more about the binder? And we have come up on the top of the hour, but obviously this is a very important topic. So I'll continue.
Yeah, the next section is going to go pretty quickly. I'm just going to share a little bit about the ambassador binder, the items that we have in ours. As Cindy mentioned, we do share things as well electronically, but what's nice is when a person joins our committee, joins the ambassador program, they're given a binder, they're given each other's contact information, a calendar and things like that. So I'm going to go through what's in our binder. Of course, it's just a sample. So the first thing is a full year calendar. This allows a very quick understanding of what the admissions office is going to try to execute in the calendar year. And of course, not everything applies to each committee. And so, you know, this one was, I think, last year's that hasn't, it is not reflecting the new committees, which will be different colors, and people will easily be able to identify which things apply to them. But it also is a really nice tool for Cindy and her associate and others to sort of have a cheat sheet. I mean, if you want to know what's happening this year, it's there and it's set and it's ready. And if the school wants to plan something, then they can look at this and know that there's something else happening. And Cindy also has been very clever to integrate other programs that are happening from within the school. So this calendar has not only admissions items, but it also has major school events so that the ambassadors quickly can reference them. If they're a buddy family, they can say, looking forward to catching up with you. And by the way, in a week, there's an event. You should, you know, come to that. So that's a nice thing to put together. Okay, next.
Okay. Okay.
So these are just some quick forms that we have that talk about ambassadors can fill out. You know, if they speak to someone, they can quickly jot down information from the call, and usually people don't fill out this formal form, but it certainly is nice to have in the binder, so we prompt them to think about what things they might want to know when they take a phone call with a prospective family. We also have this sheet that talks about three categories of outreach, mentioning that all types of outreach are very valuable. So whether it's posting on social media or listservs that you're part of, or actually opening your door and having a family over for a meal or a play date, or the conversations that casually happening in the parking lot, that those are all places that the ambassador should be sort of on. And it helps to reinforce that with this form. We also provide the ambassadors with a timeline of the school. So I'm not promising everybody reads this, but it exists. So that people who are now kind of the keepers of our school's values sort of understand where we came from and now where we are. And so it's a nice piece of historical information for the ambassadors to have. The fast facts sheet is updated, as the years go on. And what happens is this is sort of just nuts and bolts that the ambassadors might get asked and need to know about. So for example, I don't have a kid that has, you know, graduated yet from the school, but I can quickly reference schools that students have gone to after they've graduated. So those types of materials are on there and easy. We also have a forum on just the importance of word of mouth and all the different places that what you say can be really, really helpful to the school. Okay, and then the last slide that we share is just the admission cycle. So familiarizing people, just because you're an ambassador and a great volunteer at the school doesn't necessarily mean that you're aware of what the admission cycle looks like. And I would say that, even when I was a guidance counselor, I wasn't familiar with what this cycle looked like. And so I think it's an important piece to educate the ambassadors on, so they understand that there's a busy time that's going to happen, and then it'll, kind of be in a lull. And then we're going to really kick up again in March when we've accepted people. And Cindy, do you want to go through and talk about parts of the admission cycle, or do you want me to...
I think because we're running out of time, I think that most admissions people do know the cycle. So let me just talk a little bit about kind of the wrap up of the year for the ambassador program. So we always discuss a succession plan among each other as to who will be not the next year's, because that's already been decided, but who will take on in 2 years. We do provide a survey. We demonstrate appreciation. We usually get them a gift. And these are the survey questions. So very, very short and sweet. We want to know if you want to, you know, continue on, what, you know, what we did well, what we didn't, what committees do you want to, you know, be on? And that's really pretty much it. And then this is going to be our new initiative for 2022-23. We had someone come in and talk to us about community. It was a community person, really from the, you know, not a school person, to just talk about community building and the art of meetings and things like that. And we decided after that we were going to start a book club, really for those parents that want to be involved. But and it's a book that was recommended to me, The Art of Gathering: How We Meet, Why It Matters, by Priya Parker, who also has some great, has a great blog and does some great seminars. So just something new. And, you know, we're always thinking of new things and new things to do throughout. So that's pretty much it. Here's our contact information. Truly feel free to reach out. I'm always happy to help anybody. We're all in this together, and it's the collegiality and the helping hands that we can all give to each other that make, I think, ASAP great and make the work that we do great.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And this conversation today has been wonderful. And again, speaking of great, it's been great. There's two other quick questions that I'd love for us to pose to you. One you've mentioned with regard to how you let people know about succession planning, but you have a target number of years, which you sort of put in line so that people can think about rotating on and off the committee. Do you look at your committee who, you know, has been there for a long, long time and ever worry about it being fresh? This was a question that Rand had asked, and I think it's a really good one.
Oh, it is. That's a great question. We really freshen it up every year. So I know the person that did like preschool, we had like a preschool committee, and mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? Like, I think she's kind of done with that. Let's move her to, I don't know, the internet or something, you know, the postings or whatever, you know, something a little different. So we freshen it up every year. We change co-chairs. You know, it's either every year, every 2 years, we'll change co-chairs of the actual committees. If somebody's like really excited about it and doing great, we'll often, you know, keep them on. But really, like, I think 2 years to be a co-chair of a committee is probably about it. Our ambassador co-chairs are only there for 1 year. I'm not good. Okay. I think 2 years might be better, actually, right. But we need to like wait to do that because
absolutely.
Maybe like 2 years from now, we'll tell them.
So the final two questions really fall into two very different buckets. One is more in the standard and skills level of ethical behavior and best practices, and the other falls into operational excellence. So here goes. Let's do ethical behavior first. Do you have your families who participate in this program sign a confidentiality agreement? ASAP really encourage y'all to think about not only people on your admissions committee signing confidentiality, financial aid committee, but also some of your parent ambassadors. Do you all have people sign confidentiality agreements?
You know, we don't, but it's a lovely idea. I do like that idea. So if you have a sample, great.
Sure.
I used to be a lawyer. I can draft one myself.
There you go. No. There's one in our resources and models, but I do think
that's a great idea.
Yeah, to all of us listening, it doesn't have to be really heavy, but you are meeting people, you are hearing things, you are, right? And it's just important to kind of keep it at a certain level. Yeah. The other question that we'll end with is everybody is loving that school calendar. So people are wondering, what is the program that you used to make that calendar?
I'm not 100% sure, but let me try to find out.
It was, okay, great.
Yeah, we're using a different calendar that
okay.
That I don't like as much. So let me find out who did this one. And
then let us know and we'll put it in the resources that'll be made available to all of you who have been part of today's call and anyone who's a member who chooses to look at this afterwards.
Okay.
Again, I think that what is really, really important is to, as you said also, Cindy, is to remember that this is a community and as wonderful as you all were able to put forward, there's also also some other parent communities that are also shining stars. So again, this is really great to be able to hear back from and move forward on. So thank you so much for all of you who participated in today's call. Cindy and Rachel, thank you so much. For more information on this, please don't hesitate to reach out to our two wonderful presenters or to ASAP.
Great. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much, you all, and have a wonderful day.
Okay. Bye-bye.